Hey, hey, Lono Nation, and welcome to this week's episode of the Lono Drinker podcast. Today, I am chatting with the lovely Carl Anthony Brown. Carl is the founder of Crossip Drinks, a range of unapologetically bold alcohol-free spirits. Carl and the Crossip team face the Lono market with something that I think a lot of people would emulate, and that is an unshakable sense of self. They know who they are, they know what they stand for, and they shout it from the rooftops. So I'm really excited to get to know Carl and a bit about his journey and the brand, and you know what they are working towards within the non-alc space. So let's jump straight in and say hello to Mr. Carl Anthony Brown. Hey, Carl, how are you doing?
Hello. I'm very well. Thank yourself. You good?
I'm okay. Thank you very much for asking. A little bit tired, but aren't we all?
It's Friday.
Let's bring
Although,
it on.
To be fair, though, I work in hosto, so Friday is not really Friday. So you know,
it doesn't mean anything. I remember when I was working, we used to say we don't have weekends; we just have late nights.
That's it.
You know,
everyone's like, "Oh, the weekend's coming up," and I'm like, "No, that's on Tuesday."
Yeah.
What are you talking about?
Yeah, your weekend means I'm working extra hard to make sure you have a good time. So yeah, bring on Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Let's go party.
I'm quite lucky. I've got an amazing assistant called Lily. Mm-hmm. We make everything. And so I was like, right, so I'll see you on Friday for production. Da, 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 da. And she was like, no, it's bank holiday. And I was like, yes, it is. She's like, I won't see you. And I was like, okay, so on Monday we'll get on with this. And she's like, no, that's also bank holiday. I'm like, I was like, hey, do you mind me doing me a favour, Leon? She was like, what's that? Can you just message me so I don't get in the car and go to work?
That's it, because those bank holidays, you know, they don't mean anything, do they? They just mean, like, more hours. Yeah. You know, if you're lucky, time and a half. Oh, well, I'm appreciative of you being here. We were talking before that obviously bank holiday plans for many people are scuppered with the wonderful British springtime that we're having. I've just had to send my husband out with the kids so that we can have some peace in the house. And I said, you know, why don't you go to the cinema or something? He's like, oh, that's there's nothing on, the swimming is closed. I was like, well, you're gonna have to go walk in the rain.
Good.
I win many parenting awards, you know, don't worry. So thank you for joining me today. I want to get to know more about you, more about Crossip. I want to talk about the range. But first of all, I'd like to start by you sharing with our listeners and watchers a little bit about your own story, starting from where you feel comfortable. Obviously, we share a hospitality background, and I'm particularly intrigued by the fact that I understand you started off on this Crossip journey while you're still slinging cocktails over the bar and you're elsewhere trying to create this non-alc spirit. So take me back to where you want to start. What was your journey that led you here?
I mean, realistically, silly. I mean, I won't go through all of it because it'd be mental. We'd be here for hours. But I do actually have to go literally back to the start of hospitality because I was marched by my mum, who is an absolute like wonder, marched me in on my 18th birthday into a bar in a place called Berris Deadmans, a bar called Benson Blake's. And that was Tim Barr, who is my co-founder of Crossit. He grew up in bars. So by the time he was 23, he owned a bar. So there's only a few years between us. I got marched in, and my mum's like, he needs a job. He's 18 now. Can he work in the bar? And Tim was like, yes, he can work on my bar. And that's where me and Tim first met. We worked together. Well, I worked for him. He was my boss for a few years. And then I went off and did lots of other things. I played a lot of rugby, traveled to New Zealand to play some rugby, which was good fun.
Cool.
And I went to university, and I was continuously bartending all through this, and everything sort of started off by Tim. And we just became like best friends. We just got on really well, and you know, we would sort of always be there for each other. I finished uni and decided, well, that was a waste of time and money because, you know, I'm never going to use this. I'm just not interested in it whatsoever. But I really love the bartending I've done to pay my way through it. And I was quite good. And I worked my way up a few different bars. I, you know, became the head bartender of the Waldorf Astoria, which was fantastic. And you know, really got stuck in the drinks industry. Really mm-hmm. loved the. I mean, when I was bartending, it was still the age of flaring. You know, I can't. If I try and balance a bottle, it's just going to go wrong. Shocking, but I was very quick, and I had a really good palate. And then I worked my way up, and I ended up working for Deschutes. And I became the sort of bars manager, the drinks developer for the whole group, and right at the start, and created all their drinks. And it was quite eye opening for me. You know, I'm a rugby player. I can't, you know, I won't lie to you and say I'm sober. I'm just not. I really enjoy the flavor of alcohol. I really enjoy it. I don't drink to excess, really. It's just never been my thing. But a rugby player, I was always, you know, drank a lot. Then when I went to Shum, I suddenly realized that, well, actually 50% of their clientele don't drink. And I was there going, so people were like, oh, can we have something non-alcoholic? And at that time, there wasn't really many non-alcoholic beers. I think they, you know, it was still the traditional, you know, that one weird bottle of Beck's Blue that was always found in the back of a fridge. And I'm like, can't do this. And they were like, oh, we need to put some drinks out. And I was like, and I looked and I was like, okay, well, let's go for the, you know, traditional. I don't know, you start at Shirley Temple and then you progress to mixing orange juice with pineapple juice with some grenadine at the bottom. And you're like, wow. And I just, it made me shudder, absolutely shudder inside. And these people are asking me for mocktails. And I'm like, God, I hate that word. I'm like, but the whole point, as far as I'm concerned, there's no definition, there's no hard rule that says you have to have alcohol to make it a cocktail. Surely it's a mix of ingredients that incites an amazing flavor. So I got fed up. So I ended up like, right, I need to work something out. So I started developing non-alcoholic cocktails that made me feel like this is an adult's drink. And won a number of awards for that. Yeah, you know, won best drinks menu for restaurant group, and then, you know, best non-alcoholics menu and a few other things. It was fantastic. And I was like, okay, this is really inspiring. And one of the things I started working on there was I needed to make the flavor of these drinks more adult. Right. So it wasn't like, oh, I need to copy gin or anything like that. How do I make a fake whiskey? It was, no, I need to work out, like what makes it more adult? What mm-hmm. makes it more mature? You know, what's going to change that mentality from this is a bunch of juice put together to this is a fantastic drink. So I started working on that there, and sort of worked on these couple of different essence flavors and things like that through different variations of extraction. And I came up with something that was okay if you were an absolute genius bartender.
Right.
Otherwise, awful. Awful, unusable, and pretty dangerous, if I'm honest. Like, okay. It was just not good for you. And I was like, okay. I ended up leaving Deschutes, and I traveled around the world a bit doing some bartending and working for a few different companies and things. I became the ambassador for Woodford Reserve, which is one of my favorite whiskies. And then when I was there, I was just like, you know what? I need to, it's time I do something for myself. And see what I can come up with. I've been working on this idea. It's always been there. I've been working on it for ages and ages. So I ended up setting my own bar, which was great. I had 3 months of absolute bar bliss. And I was like, wow, I love this. I'm so happy I finally got my own bar. Mm-hmm. And then someone decided to announce that it was COVID. And I was like, oh, there goes my dream bar.
That
was quick. So I was, you know, one of those, you know, many, many, you know, the hospitality businesses that die in their first year. Although mine had a decent excuse. So I was like, ah, well, this is gone wrong.
Really was out of your hands. There's nothing you could have done about that.
I was like, well, that's that. And then I I've been working at ages and I'd been pestering Tim. So I was like, continuously, I was like, look, I think this is a thing, right? And he was like, and he was just my continuous sounding board. So I was like, this is a thing. Da, 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 da. And he's like, yeah, but literally no one can use that. It needs to be more usable. So I'd like go away and go, right, how do I make this more usable? And da, da, da. And then eventually, so I got to a point where I'd sort of created CrossIt. I created its three founding flavors and I'd sort of managed to get there. And I can tell you the story of how I create those whenever you want, but you know, I'll ramble on. So you just cut me off whenever you want.
You keep going.
So I did that. And then, a friend of a friend, came in, and he's from an investment background. Uh-huh. And I was like, look, it's the bar's closing down. You know, this is happening. I've got an idea, but I don't know how to turn this into a business. You know, can you, you know, do you fancy coming down and just giving me a few pointers? And he was like, yeah, I'll come down. And so Brad, my third founder, he came in and I served him some drinks. And I hadn't told him that they were non-alcoholic.
Okay.
And I served him some drinks and I was like, so, you know, I was like, how does it go? But basically, I think this, the stuff that makes these, I think is an idea and I'd like to do it. And he goes, you know what? That one was really nice. This one was interesting and nice. That one there was a bit too boozy for me. And I was like, oh, that's cool. That works really well then. He was like, why is that? I'm like, because none of them have got any booze in it. And he was like, what? And he was like, okay, well, I'll phone you on Monday so we can catch up. And I was like, sure, okay. I was like, that conversation was a bit, you know, like, oh, yeah. And on Monday, he was like, yeah, I'm in. So let's do it. And I was like, what? He was like, yeah, okay. No, let's make that a business. It was superb. I was like, sure. So I was like, Tim, by the way, you're actually signed up now. And he's like, really? He's like, but I've got a nice sensible job. I'm like, yeah, but this will be more fun. And now it's 4 years on. And we're still going. It's hard work. I make the liquid all myself still. It's pretty crazy, and 4 years into CrossIt. So
that is brilliant. That is brilliant. Yeah, I mean, look, the fact that you started this bar must have been a really exciting time. I am ex-hospo, and I know the joys and the fun. And if you're having your own space, you're like, I am the king of the freaking castle now.
That's it.
And then you're like, ah, shit. Castle's closed.
Literally there again, and I can put this on my shelf, and I can put this on my shelf, and no manager is going to come and tell me no.
Yeah.
I'm like, aha, it's over.
Oh, dear. But do you know what? You made something from it, and that's absolutely amazing, you know, because you could sit back and just go, it's all gone wrong. I've lost this money. I've lost this space. You know, my dream is gone. Or you can then pull yourself up by the bootstraps and go, right, we gotta crack on with it. I was similar. I was made redundant during COVID. I was on maternity leave with my second.
Didn't know allowed to do that.
And that was it. And I never went back because I was made redundant halfway through. And it was like, oh, okay, I guess we find something else to do then. So, you know, I think that sometimes these things happen for a reason, right? Because look at you now.
Yes. No, yeah, it was wonderful. I mean, it was an odd time. I ended up, for the whole of COVID, I was making bottle cocktails and I was put them in pouches and I was cycling around London delivering them.
Okay.
And I must have covered, I can't remember what it was. It was like, I think it was like 7,000, 8,000 kilometres in like the space of 3 months just delivering these cocktails to keep stuff afloat.
Do you know what? I think there's a theme that runs through some of the founders that I've spoken with, because there's another lady who's the founder of LA Brewery, the alcohol-free kombucha. And she did the same. She was working in hospitality, and in between she was on her bicycle delivering her product to places wherever she can get it sold. So you've got to do this, right? When you are starting your own business and you want to get it out there, you got to just get the sweat on.
I mean, there's only one easy road to starting a business, and that's already having the money not to need to start a business. So,
yeah.
So not many people are in that position.
No.
So otherwise you've got to do everything and you've got to be on it all the time.
Hey, hey, Lono Nation, I'll get you back to the show in a sec. I wanted to let you know that I have just finished creating the very first Lono Drinker personality type quiz. Head on over to lonodrinkermagazine.com/quiz to discover your Lono drinking personality type. Are you a dolphin, elephant, tortoise, wolf, or an octopus? Find out how embracing your Lono drinking type can help you live a life less intoxicated. With 24 years of experience in hospitality myself, I know firsthand just how intense an environment it can be and just how far down the rabbit hole you can go. The We Recover Loudly podcast aims to show people it's possible to recover from these destructive patterns and to still work within the industry they love. Hosted by Shel Regini, she talks to front of house and back of house team members, interviewing everyone from chefs and bartenders to managers and operations, as well as mental health professionals, about the reasons why there is so much addiction, burnout and anxiety within the industry. She asks the question, if alcohol and drugs were never the problem, but the solution, then what changes do we all need to make to allow the hospitality industry and its people to survive and thrive? Subscribe to the We Recover Loudly podcast now, wherever you get your podcasts. So tell me a bit more about the liquid things. You said you could tell me a bit more about the fact, I love the fact that you are still there, hands in... You know, elbow deep.
Realistically, my co-founders and my team, they don't want me in front of anybody anyway. They're like, no, just put him back in his shed.
It's not safe to let him out.
can't let him out in public. So it's an interesting journey. So I hate the idea of mocktail. I think a cocktail should be a mixed beverage that is, you know, it doesn't matter. You know, by saying this is alcoholic or not alcoholic on in any term, whether it be spirit mixer, beer, wine, whatever, you're suggesting that the end goal is to be pissed, which is ridiculous. No, it's not. The end goal is to go, this tastes fantastic. This suits my palate. I really enjoy this. Now, if you end up being a bit tipsy because you've had too much booze, fine. That happens. Like you know, fine. That's okay. But your goal shouldn't be, I'm going out to be X. That's not my thing. That's never been my thing. So I was like, okay, you know, I want to start this drink. I want to start working out what I'm going to do. And then I was like, well, you know, what do I need to create? And I'm like, do you know what? And at no point did I go, I need to make a fake gin. I need to make a fake whiskey. At no point did that even pop into my head. So maybe that was stupidity. But yeah, no point did that pop into my head. What popped into my head was I create, spirit mixers and cocktails 24/7 as a bar job. And I have done for 20 years. And I create a finished drink. You know, very rarely, but realistically, no one comes into a bar and goes, can I have a glass of gin, please? No one does that. They come in and go, can I have a G&T or, can I have a Cosmopolitan? Can I have a gin fizz? You know, they ask for a finished beverage. So I started thinking through creating this non-alcoholic spirit, obviously called Cross It, from the idea of going, I know all these finished drinks. What do I need at this finished point, you know, to make it, to get it there if it's got no booze in it? So I was like, instead of going, I'm making this singular spirit that to make some cocktails or make a spirit mixer, I was like, I want to make these hundreds of thousands of drinks. What do I need to add into it to get there? So I actually locked myself in a dark room with a notebook and a pen, and I got absolutely hammered. I mean, I won't lie. I mean, I was a wreck. Because I basically sat there with a bottle of vodka and a bottle of gin and a bottle of whiskey and a bottle of rum, and I was just doing little sips.
Right.
And I was, every time I took a sip of something, I'd focus on one spirit. You know, I was only doing one a day-ish. but I'd take a little sip and I'd be like, okay, what happened? And sometimes I'd write down a note like, oh, it was a fiery burn at the front of my tongue. Sometimes I'd be like, oh, actually, I got loads of vanilla off that. You know, and I just write everything down. I was like, oh, it flushed my cheeks. Oh, it made my ears go warm. Oh, it made me warm in my throat or hot in my chest. Or I wrote everything down that was happening to me. And I was like, okay, well, let's go through each of these spirits. Okay, let's go through some of these beers I had, some of these wines I had, and other drinks, and these mixed cocktails I'd made myself. I was like, okay, all these notes. And I was like, well, that one happens to be in every single thing. I was like, oh, that flavor happens in every single one. And that, like, effect happens in every single one. And I was writing them down.
Okay.
And I got a massive, like, sheet of things that would happen. And I'm like, okay, well, I need to recreate these things that happen to be able to add to a liquid to make me and other people go, ah, that's boozy, even though it's not. You know, I didn't, and as I'm sure you can guess, I didn't create a non-alcoholic spirit from the point of view and, you know, dedicated to people that want to be sober or are sober. I did it for people that aren't. I did it for people that drink. So that you can enjoy those mature flavors, but not have the detrimental side. So I went through that. You know, if people that are sober love it, I love that. I love that they love it. And that's great. But I created it to start off with to go, no, everyone should have the option as to when you want to drink or not drink alcohol. And still have the benefits of incredible flavor, because that's what it should be about. So I wrote all these flavorings down, and then I sort of set about working out how do I recreate them. So I found spices, botanicals, some herbs, you know, all of these different items to sort of that would do those effects, that would create those effects. I read lots of herbal medicine books and things like that. I was like, oh, they say this does this and that does that. And okay, well, let's try that. And then I slowly worked out a way to extract it. So I use water and glycerin. So, you know, vegetable glycerin, which is great. It sort of has some similar properties to alcohol in terms of how it absorbs flavor. I was like, okay, well, this kind of works. And then just through my years of bartending, and being one of those bartenders that's a bit, you know, over the top, you know, sitting there with my sous vides and my, like, you know, things like that, I'm like, oh, I've got a fancy piece of kit. Yeah, get carried away.
I know you guys well.
These are the bartenders who are actually good, who just pick up a bottle and, you know, jigger and put, there you go, this tastes amazing. And then there's people like me, it's like, well, I've got a pet. So.
Yeah. Yeah, and, I had many bar managers like that, and they'd be like, right, can we buy this bit of equipment, and then can we get this, and then what we'll do is we'll take it to the table, and then we'll smoke it in front of them.
Exactly.
And
then, I was unfortunately one of those people, but completely aware that I was an absolute wanker.
Well, as long as you know, that's fine.
Because of learning all these techniques and years in the drinks industry, I was like, okay, I've worked out how to extract this. So I created this essence, and I called it spirit essence. And I was like, here you go, Tim, taste this. And he had it, and he was like, oh, my God, that's fucking disgusting. I was like, what the hell have you done? I was like, well, now mix it with, like, orange juice. And he was like, pour it in orange juice. And he was like, oh, that's really quite good. Uh-huh. I was like, that does all these, you know, he was like, that's really interesting. I was like, yeah, so it has to be mixed. And then he was like, we can't, that's not a thing. He was like, to have this essence, one, it's really hard to make. And two, to give that to someone, you know, someone at home or whatever, it's just unviable. Yeah. Okay. it's like someone coming up to you with just the raw ingredients to, like, you know, to Coke, and you going, great, thanks. But no, it will be a bottle of Coke if you've just got to
just
do
off
this.
Your pot. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So I was like, okay, cool. So I sort of thought through the liquid a little bit further, and I kind of realized that when, you know, from my point of view of working from the finished drink backwards, when you really look at it and you really think about it, you can break them down in a much easier way into sort of base flavor profiles. So if you think about most of your white spirits, you go, well, actually, almost if whether I'm mixing it with a spirit, like whether I'm doing the white spirit with a mixer or whether I'm turning it into a cocktail, most of those white spirit drinks, you'll add citrus to it. So I was like, whether, you know, whether that be a peel, whether that be a squeeze of lime, whether that's, you know, actual load of juice, you'll always add some kind of citrus. So I was like, okay, well, I'll take my spirit essence and I'll mix one, and I'll blend it with some citruses to make it into a citrus flavored spirit. So again, still, I hadn't even thought about replicating, a spirit and making it non-alcoholic. I was just thinking about purely flavor. And I was like, okay, well, let's make one that's a citrusy flavored, because I know that if I have a citrusy flavored mature adult drink, you can mix that thing with lots of other stuff or just with a mixer and it will turn out similar to one of these white spirit style drinks. And I was like, okay, well, you know, what about those people that like, you know, dark spirits or, you know, that smokier, richer, bolder, meatier flavor? It's like, Joe, okay, sweet, let's work on that. So I ended up mixing it with smoke and pine and all these woody effects and cinnamon and clove. And I was like, okay. And I made a smoky flavor. And then the last one, I was like, okay, well, you know, what about if you eat you summer, you want a nice long drink, or maybe you're a bit of a martini drinker, or what are you going to, what's the sort of overriding core of that? And I was like, okay, well, realistically, it's sort of, you know, it's a bitter. So it's bitters or vermouth or, you know, it's something like that. So I was like, okay, well, let's make this sort of herbal, medicinal, bitter flavor. And I ended up with the three that are right behind you, which is amazing.
Okay. Yeah.
So I ended up, yeah, with Dandy Smoke, fresh citrus, and pure hibiscus. And
so we've got the dandy.
Yeah, that's the dandy.
And you've recently redesigned these bottles, haven't you?
I have, to make them really pretty.
They are beautiful. They are absolutely stunning. I would definitely have these on a back bar. You can just see them, and they're so easy to find, and they just stand out.
You know, as you said earlier, our motto is unapologetically bold. So the labels are like, we're going big on this as bright as we can because we loved it. But yeah, we recycled glass, recycled lid, you know, so we want to sort of be a little bit more holistic on that front and then also just make them look beautiful.
They really do. And they taste amazing as well. So I'm going to ask you if you have a favourite, but I don't know if that's like asking somebody if they have a favourite child and they're not allowed to say.
Favourite child?
Again, I'm not allowed to say. to be honest, it just depends on which one's annoying me the least at that given moment. And I think any parent out there would agree. I got them and I was really excited. And I was like, oh, let me give these a try. And then I tasted the first one. And I admit I'm not a bitter fan. I'm not a big fan of Parity. So I tried that and I was like, but actually it's not overly bitter because I can't, my husband's favorite drink is a Negroni. And to me, I'm like, that's just evil in a glass. and I tried that one and I was like, actually, you know, it's got that bitterness. It's got that dryness, but it's balanced. It's not overpoweringly so. Mm. And then I tried the citrus. I was like, oh, my God, that's amazing.
Yeah.
This is my favourite. And then I tried the dandy. Knocked it out of the park there, mate, didn't you?
Yeah, thanks. I don't have a favourite.
Okay.
Because I crafted them in a way to be used at the right time in the right place. And that's how that's also how I drink, just in life. So, you know, if I walk into a bar and they've only got bad quality spirits, beers that I don't like, things like that, I won't drink. I won't force myself. I've never gone, well, I'm out tonight, so I've got to get on it. Ooh, and then I'm like, you know, I'll force that Foster's down. No, I just won't. That's not who I am.
Yeah.
And I, when I created these, it was very much of like, well, you know, I feel like a, I feel like an old fashioned. It's like, oh, well, actually I've invented Dandy, so I can make an old fashioned.
Absolutely.
So, you know, it's the right time, right place, depending on which one I have.
Yeah.
I would say I probably drink the fresh the most.
Okay.
Because I really like tonic water. Fresh works amazing with tonic water. And it's just really refreshing. So I'm like, oh, actually, this is great. So
soda. I had it with soda. And it's just, it made a beautiful, simple, long drink. And it was just really nice. And I agree with you, you know, the right time, the right place, just having that right drink. I love what you said about not forcing the issue when it comes to going out. And like, if there's not something that you're going to enjoy, it's not a case of, oh, God, all right, well, I'll just have one of those then. Oh, this tastes like crap, but I'll drink it anyway.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I try to think back to how many times I have drunk drinks that I didn't want to drink just because there was no other option or just because it was the done thing. I really like your message, Carl, about the fact that you say openly, again, about being unapologetically who you are.
Mm.
I'm not sober. I'm not making these drinks for sober people. This isn't about turning everyone onto an alcohol-free lifestyle. This is about creating an amazing adult drinking experience for people who want those moments for whatever their reasons are.
Exactly. Exactly. I mean, like, you know, then one thing that always struck me was, you know, you can go orange juice tastes like orange juice, right? But no one ever goes wine tastes like wine. You go, oh, it's got this lovely floral note. It's got a bitterness coming through. Mm-hmm. I can taste, you know, grass. I can get some minerals coming through. You describe an alcoholic beverage in a different way.
Mm.
And everything that was put out there, you know, when I was creating CrossFit, most things that were put out there, you would go, this tastes like orange or this tastes like pineapple. You're like, great. Like, we need more depth. You know, we're adults. Our palates have evolved, whether they've evolved because you drink alcohol, whether they have evolved because you love pickled food, you know, whatever it is, as you get older, your palate evolves and you want depth and texture and you want, you know, you need some more evolvement other than Haribo. And so I was... So for me, that, you know, that was really important. So I was like, you know, it doesn't matter if you're a drinker or not a drinker. Mm-hmm. You want to have a depth of flavor. I think I realized in myself as well that I probably end up drinking, not anymore because I've created CrossFit, but I probably at time, bartending, and you know yourself that it's very easy to drink too much. It's very easy to be, you know, it's available and realistically you don't get paid very much and you're like, well, but I get a few free drinks. So I'm just going to enjoy it. And then, oh, my mate's working in that bar, so I'll go and have a few more free drinks. And, you know, because that's, you haven't got enough money to go and do other things. So you're like, well, I enjoy this. And I realized actually I was making a choice to drink more, not because I wanted to be drunk, because I don't enjoy being drunk. I find it very uncomfortable. But I was making the choice to drink more because I found the flavors of those things more interesting. So as soon as people started adventuring outside the box and going, well, I'm going to make something non-alcoholic, but interesting, you know, kombucha was a big one for me. You know, this is a really interesting beverage that's non-alcoholic. Suddenly I was like, oh, do you know what? I don't need to go. I don't need to have a beer right now. I can have X, Y, and Z. You know. And I've always been able to make things like that because of where my skills lie. But there's a point where you're at home, you're like, actually, I fancy a drink, and it's much easier to grab like a Corona out of the fridge than it is for me to go, right, so I need 25 mils of ginger. I need extract of, you know, gentian. I need da, 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 and then blend it up yourself and then strain it off. And then you're like, no, I'm just going to grab that bowl. So to try and combine those into something was really important. It was like, okay, this is great. And then obviously because of the drinks background for myself, I made it really strong. I was like, if someone comes to me in a bar with a spirit, there's so much, so many years of what you understand of spirits and things behind you that someone goes, oh, would you like to try my new spirit? Maybe you want it in your bar. You go, okay, fine. And you go, you know, and you just, your brain doesn't think, how do I serve this? Your brain goes, right, we serve that in about 25 mils. Cool. Great. Yeah. So you know what a shot size is. And when I was creating CrossHip, you know, there was a couple out on the market already of non-alcoholic spirits from a very different background. They were going for that replica point of view. But he was like, oh, you need to put 50 or 70 mils in. I'm like, that's not natural to a person who, you know, who is used to a spirit where you go 25 mils. So I decided to make CrossHip that strong.
Yeah.
So I was like, you need to put 25 mils in. And then if you want to make it stronger, you can choose to add more. But the base has to be like, bang, which is always fun when someone goes, oh, you know, so I get these people, you know, you can imagine they're like, oh, have you made another one of those watery non-alcoholic spirit things that's going to be rubbish? I'm like, sure, yeah, I've done that. Why don't you have a shot of straight pure and then just watch their face go? I'm like, strong, isn't it?
Yeah, I can attest to that because I like to taste things in their natural form before I mix them with anything. And I did that and I made those faces and I was like, wowzers.
It's just, God. Now imagine being me. I do that every single week, every single day, because I've got to check everything, every batch that comes up.
Of course. Oh, my goodness. I think you've hit on a really interesting bit there about people making things at home. That was one of the things I wanted to ask you. So as I've mentioned, I have a bar background as well. So I've bartended and then moved into management and then I moved into events. And so the amount of time I spent making cocktails reduced, you know, over time and I stepped away from it. And as much fun as it was, I then became the person who just liked having other people make things for me. I just want to sit back and you just give me something that tastes wonderful. Great job. And so I'm thinking about people who are at home, who don't have the level of experience that you or even I have in terms of making drinks, about knowing how to balance drinks.
Yeah.
But want to have something adult, something with depth, something with layers of flavor, and something with different profiles. Can you give us some tips on the best ways that we can enjoy, obviously, CrossHip?
Yep.
But also that home experience for people who are looking to drink less but want to enjoy more.
Yep. Yeah. I mean, one thing you can do, you know, is go out, buy a bottle of CrossHip, and then on the back of the bottle, there's a QR code, and you can scan that. And I put up thousands of recipes online. So just as a, you know, it's normally, you know, me, Tim, and some of the other amazing people in our team who were like, oh, come up with this recipe, and then we put it online. So there's an easy way like that.
Yeah.
But start off with, I mean, first things first, obviously, use flavours that you enjoy. That's always a good start. I always stick to that old school, if I'm going to do a mixed drink, like a proper sort of cocktail style, I always stick to the old school rum rhyme. You know, so it's one for sweet, two for sour, three for strong, four for weak. That always works fantastically. It makes life a lot easier, especially if you're doing for a big group party or something. So it's like you go one, unless you, if you like things super sweet, you do sweet and sour the other way around, but it's fine. But you go, okay, you know, if you imagine you're making a drink, so you go, my one measure is 25 mils. You'd be like, okay, I'm going to do 25 mils of sugar, of some description, 50 mils of sour of some description, 75 mils of strong, of whatever you choose to be strong, and then 100 mils of something weak. And you mix that together and you'll end up with a really delicious drink, unless you choose ridiculous flavours that are clearly not going to work together. Not like coffee and ginger. Doesn't work. People say it does. Doesn't.
They fight each other, don't they?
It's something about it. Just, you know, people try and claim this is really good. It's not. But yeah, so I mean, so like my favorite, a wonderful one with Dandy, really super simple. So Dandy is Lapsang, Souchong, peat, pine, cinnamon, clove, nutmeg, ginger. So all these really lovely warming flavors with this big bold hit of smoke. Okay. My favorite drink with that is to make a Paloma. So basically what you would do is you're going to take the Dandy Smoke, which is kind of, it has a similar vibe to a mezcal. Mm-hmm. If you understand booze, if you don't understand booze, it has a very smoky flavor. And I like, you take a reasonable size shot of that. I would sort of say 35 mils ish mm-hmm. shot of that. And then get yourself either some sparkling grapefruit soda. So whether that be Ting or 3 cents or, you know, something along those lines. Mm-hmm. Or you can make it yourself really super easy. Literally get pink grapefruit juice and soda and just combine them. Yeah. But you do one part Dandy to sort of three parts your grapefruit soda. Mm-hmm. Loads of ice. Don't be afraid of ice. Put as much in as you possibly can. The more ice that's in there, the slower the ice melts. So actually, the more consistent your drink is. Stir it up, squeeze of lime, put that, put the wedge in as well. That is an absolutely beautiful.
Happy days.
Summery, wonderful, smoky, mature drink. Like, absolutely stunning. If you're like, oh, I just need this a touch sweeter, grab a little bit of agave, touch of agave in there, stir it in. That's absolutely, that's got to be one of my favorites. Nice. You know, if you ever want to shake a cocktail up, mm-hmm. and you haven't got a shaker and you haven't got all those things, just grab a jam jar or something like that. There's a book, a cocktail book, where, you know, J.J. Goodman, who started London Cocktail Clubs, which is now called the Cocktail Club. He actually does, he's done a book on literally from your cupboard. And it's just like, you mix these things to make alcoholic cocktails, but you can literally grab that book. It's a great book. And then you can also look at all those recipes and go, I'm just going to remove the booze and I can work out that this drink is a citrusy one or this one's a smoky one. And you can grab Crossip and go, right, I'm going to replicate.
Yeah.
Put that one in. And that solves it. I think my favorite drink with fresh, mm-hmm. again, let's stick super simple, because otherwise I'll get, you know, carried away and I'll start making things really complicated.
And then the smoker will come out.
Exactly. Right. You know, right. I'll be like, where is my glass dome? but an FTC, so fresh tonic and cucumber. Now, one of the big things about making a drink is to add a little bit of real to it. And what mm-hmm. I mean by real is some fresh fruit or, you know, vegetable, or add something to just lift that drink into a new layer. So take a shot of fresh 25 mils if you want it stronger. If you're a person that goes out and goes, oh, I would normally drink double G&T, you're like, sweet, we'll put 50 mils in. I mean, it'd be really strong, but you know, you know, yeah. Put in the right amount, but start with 25 mils. Add tonic water. Tonic water is up to you. I personally like the tonic waters that people would suggest maybe aren't as good as other ones because there's a slight extra sweetness to it.
Okay.
And I find that actually more useful in the drink.
Interesting.
So take your tonic water, add tonic water in, and then get a couple of slices of cucumber and just put the cucumber in there and just let it soak a little bit before you drink it. You just want that cucumber flavor to come out. That drink is just absolutely, it is delicious. I think it was the first one me and Tim came up with, and we both sat there, you know, and just went, wow, this is actually really good. So this is delicious. So that's the FTC. So, you know, fresh tonic, cucumber. When I make it, a lot of time I might put the cucumber in first, then put the fresh on top of it. So the fresh starts sucking out the flavors of the cucumber and then top it up with ice and tonic water. It's wonderful.
There is something about cucumber in a drink coming up to this season, the spring, she says, looking at the rain. You know, there is something that just adds that lightness to it, and there's that aroma, because it's that drinking experience as well, isn't it? That the aroma that you get as well as you come to the glass, not just the taste.
Great tip. It's just delicious. And then I would say last one with Pure is very much if you are, you know, a person that sort of enjoys a spritz. I mean, for your husband, just tell him to go and buy the Waitrose red grape juice.
Okay.
Right? That and the Pure, it tastes like a Negroni.
Make a note.
If you like a longer drink, you want something for the summer, go and get like a cloudy lemonade, whether it's flat or sparkling, your choice. I personally like that effervescence to it. That, add all of your traditional Pimm's fruits to it. Go crazy. shot of pure, clouded lemon juice, loads of ice, all your fruits, and then you've got this wonderful summer spritz. So
that sounds amazing. And so people can, on the back of these bottles,
yeah, a little
here,
QR code.
So hopefully people will be able to see that there. Then they can just use their phones and head straight on over to the website and get some recipes.
Yeah, and it's all broken down, so you can be like, "Oh, I'm a you know, bartender guru." So you can select that level, and it will give you really complicated ones. So you can be like, "I have no idea what I'm doing." You'll be like, "Okay, just do these really simple ones."
And is that where you spend your time? You're in the bartender guru one, coming up with like lots of complicated terms.
No, I spent my entire life doing that, and I am simple. You know, it's like we get people there like, "Oh, we're going to go to some new, really cool, fancy cocktail bar. Do you want to come?" I'm like, "No, I'll be really judgmental." and then people are like, "We're going to go to the Old Man pub down the road." I'm like, "Yes, I do."
I am exactly the same. Exactly. So we went to one recently, and it's all phones and airs and loud music and strobe lights and multicolored drinks. And it's like, I don't need a drink that's got three different layers of color in it. You're not making it any better.
if I've chosen to go to that, and I understand the skill involved, and sometimes the flavor, and you know, the flavors are amazing and the experience is amazing. Like, you know, but most of the time I'm not in that place. Most of the time I just need to end my day and have something delicious. So I'm going to go as simple as I can.
And I think there is something about, because I still love a pub. You know, I spent most of my working career in pubs and bars. So, you know, they hold a special place in my heart. And there is nothing quite like just sitting in a nice pub with a little bit of music on in the background, in a chair where you can have a conversation. Because when you've spent 20 odd years working in hospitality and you've been on your feet for 20 years, it's really nice to sit down and talk.
Yeah, it is, isn't it? Sometimes it's wonderful.
I know, I'm aging myself. It's fine. I'm okay with that. Carl, this has been amazing. I could talk to you for the rest of the day, but I won't, because you've got things to do. Two more things for you before I let you go. The first is, where you've mentioned the QR code, but for those who might be listening on the audio rather than watching on YouTube, what's the address you'd like to send people to? Where can they go and find out more about you? How do you want people to stay in touch and follow the CrossFit journey?
I mean, if you want to go to www.crossipdrinks.com, and CrossIp is CrossIp. Everyone always wants to add extra letters in. So head there, and then the website, you know, you can buy bottles there. You can also find out so much about us, our story. You can explore all the recipes, and there's thousands online. Or Instagram is at CrossIpDrinks. And you know, we're always updating and trying to sort of excite people. We also, every bar that we work with, we post on our Instagram. So you can find out new and amazing bars that are working with CrossFit, and you can go down and check out the drinks and, you know, get someone else to make it for you. It's much nicer. Those are the easiest ways, to grab a bottle of CrossFit and find out a bit more.
Fantastic. I will make sure that's all in the show notes and the descriptions and all the various places that you write things down for people.
Yeah.
The last question before I let you go is one that I ask everybody who I speak to, because Low Known Nation is all about spreading the love and showing people that there are amazing beverages out there for whenever they choose to live a life less intoxicated for whatever reasons. So stretch your imagination. It's a nice sunny day, and you're off to a barbecue at a mate's house, and you're not drinking on that day, and you decide to take a couple of drinks along with you, other than the amazing CrossFit range, of course, first on the list. What other low or no or lower beverages do you like to enjoy on a day out?
I would say, I mean, one big thing that for me has always been that, even like using CrossFit as well, is I like making low drinks, so you can add the small amount of alcohol, so you're talking 5 mils to it, and you get that flavor, but it means that the drink is now 2%, which is great. So that's always good. But if I was going to choose a couple of brands, a couple of things to go out and drink, I think the first one in my bag, in my shopping bag, would be Real Kombucha. Absolutely stunning product. They sort of treat it like a wine, like a champagne sort of thing, but it's a kombucha. flavors are wonderful. Real depth to it. Really interesting. Great group of people. So that was my first in there. So I really love their stuff.
Yeah.
And then my great second choice. Thing, I would probably go. I would probably bring some booze in, but keep it very low. And I'd probably go with small beer. 2.5% beer. Just wonderful. Just look, it's a really, you know, again, I always go flavor led. So it's things that I've drank that have struck me and made me go, oh, wow, this is, you know, interesting. And they just bring out, they've got a range of beers that I just find wonderful. And again, it's that really low ABV. So it's something you can enjoy and go, you know, I'm being a little bit more sensible here. So,
yeah. And I think they've got a good 4 or 5 in the range, haven't they?
Yeah.
And I think that this year, I've said it before, that we're going to see a lot more of that sort of mid-range.
Yeah.
Both in beers and in spirits. Decem have just relaunched their 10%.
Yeah.
There's a, you know, Nice have brought out a 3.4% wine. So I think there's going to be a lot in that lower mid-range where people are going, look, I want to drink less, but I still want to drink.
Yeah, I mean, like a lot of people don't, especially with cocktails, people don't realise what they're drinking in terms of how strong it is. You know, so margarita is, when you've shaken a margarita and you've finished it, right, normally it works out about 16%, right? Whereas, so you're like, okay, that's a little drink, 16%. Whereas you can go, okay, well, I'm going to make a margarita with fresh and I'm going to add 5 mils of tequila in it, make the process the same, but you're putting less tequila in there, and then it's 2.5%. So suddenly it's still alcoholic, but it's a low ABV drink. And you're like, this is more sensible.
That, you know, that, I think that's really interesting. There's, I'm actually putting the next issue of the magazine together, and I have a debate piece in there about low alcohol drinks and where they should be on the supermarkets. And
don't start that argument with me.
And you know, one side of the debate is that, you know, when you're using these drinks as directed and using smaller amounts, you're consuming less alcohol. Yes, but the problem is that people don't understand, like you said, what they're consuming. If you're having a glass of wine, you know it's 12%. You know, if you're having a beer, you know it's 5%. But one, do people don't actually know what ABV is? And two, as soon as it becomes a mixed drink, as soon as you add some tonic to your gin or whatever it is that you're drinking, nobody has any idea. Right. And so this chap's interesting point was that perhaps we should be looking at labeling with units instead of with ABVs so that people actually understand. Because even I, after 24 years in working in hospitality, wouldn't have been able to tell you what the ABV of a cocktail is.
Yeah.
I know what went into it. Once it's made, I have no idea. It's just got booze.
Yeah, no, it's I think it's education is always the way forwards. Right? It's just the best thing. You know, making an educated decision is the best way to make everyone, you know, keep everyone healthy.
And that's it. And we've got to arm people with more information so that whatever choices they're making, then they are conscious decisions as opposed to just habit and ignorant in the nicest possible way of just not knowing. So all ignorance is you just don't know. Carl, this has been amazing. Thank you so much. I think that the watchers and listeners are going to get so much out of this, and I will make sure that everyone knows where to go and find you and harass you with lots of questions about all the stuff we didn't get to cover. I'd love perhaps at some point in the future to get you back on again as things develop with CrossSip and new, because I didn't even get to ask about all the plans for the future, so we'll save that for another time.
Yeah, but keep an eye out for the summer because there's a summer flavour.
Oh, okay. You heard it here first, guys. Brilliant. Carl, thank you so much, my dear. Have a great day.
And you. Thank you very much.